Chapter 17. I stood in front of the Blue Tree Guild airship, surrounded by their warriors, and in front of me was the crumpled form of the traitor who had put my beloved city of Hatra at risk. My anger toward him had cooled down considerably, and I tilted my head to the side as I thought about what needed to be done now. Interrogating Alexei was the first order of business, but I wasn't going to be the only witness. It was a given that Nike was going to accompany me, but I wasn't sure who else from the council should be there, all things considered. All of the leaders couldn't be out of the public eye, especially since we'd just been attacked. We needed to maintain our people's morale. "Get whoever can be spared from the council," I rumbled as I lowered my head to the ground. "And bring my father from the infirmary. If you find Princess Aliona and Laika, bring them here too." Nike jumped down from my back and walked toward the unconscious Alexei. He nudged him with his foot and seemed satisfied when Alexei didn't react.
"And Lady Julia, shall we bring her here as well?"
Anton asked as he stepped forward and picked up the limp Alexei with one hand.
"I don't think she's awoken yet, but Lord Moskal should be able to wake her up."
I couldn't help my wide smile at the sight of Anton carting Alexei around. The traitor dragged along the ground as if he was nothing more than a rag doll. He really didn't deserve any better treatment than that. No, he deserved the absolute worst treatment possible, and I was sure the Blue Tree Guild would be more than happy to oblige. No, let her rest. I took a step forward as I changed from my massive dragon body into my smaller human body. "She can come visit him when she's fully rested. I'm sure she'll have a long list of grievances, and it would be better if she was at her best."
"Of course, my lord,"
Anton agreed with me before he nodded his head at two nearby warriors.
"You heard him. Go find the council members."
The two Blue Tree Guild warriors, two young wolf demihumans, nodded before they took off at a sprint in the direction of the infirmary. Their gray tails wagged behind them as they ran, and they quickly disappeared from view. "Anton, wait a moment." I frowned at Alexei's prone body and pulled forth stone to shackle his wrists together. "That's better. Nothing wrong with taking another set of precautions, even if he won't wake up anytime soon."
"Even if we accidentally bash his head against a doorframe?"
Anton glanced at Alexei with a dark grin on his face. "He won't wake up," I reassured him, as I could already see the countless doorways Anton would bash Alexei's head against. "Just try not to kill him before we interrogate him. That would be a waste of time and energy for everyone involved."
"Of course not,"
Anton called out as he glanced at me over his shoulder.
"He has far too much to pay for before he's allowed to die. This asshole hurt all of us, and he's not getting away with it."
I lifted an eyebrow at the bloodthirstiness displayed by the usually relaxed Anton. It was like he was feeling all the rage and hatred I had felt earlier. Still, when I thought about it, his visceral reaction made sense since he was a wolf. A wolf could be just as vicious as a dragon was, and this wolf was loyal to a dragon. Wouldn't a bit of the master rub off on the servant after some time?
"Evan, bringing Aliona into the interrogation isn't a good idea."
Nike stopped me just as I was about to walk forward.
"We can't let her join in."
"Why not?" I frowned as I glanced over at him. "It's not like she'll be frightened by it. She's fought in battles already, and she traveled half of Rama by herself."
"He is a traitor, and we don't know what he'll do."
Nike's silver eyes darkened again, and now they were nearly pitch black.
"Just because he hasn't done anything to her in the time we've been here doesn't mean anything. We don't know yet if he was truly after the Orichalcum, or if all of this was an intricate plot."
"You're right. I didn't think about that possibility." I drew in a sharp breath as my eyes narrowed. "Even if he's chained and imprisoned, we don't know what he's capable of. But I don't think he would orchestrate all of this just to get caught like that in the desert. Doesn't make any sense."
"Neither does betraying humanity for the demons," Nike pointed out coldly. "We have to operate on the assumption that he's had a plan for every eventuality, especially since he used demonic magic to fight against Hatra El Shamash. Demons have always been crafty and used convoluted plans to fight against humanity. Even when you think you have the upper hand, you could have been lured into the perfect ambush point by the demons.
You have a valid point there. I conceded to his knowledge of how demons operated, since Nike had spent his entire life fighting them and knew them better than I did. Let's just get inside and get this interrogation started. Anton has already dragged Alexei into the airship.
We aren't going to wait for the council to start?
Nike tilted his head to the side as he glanced at me. Oh, we are. We're just going to get him a bit loosened up for the main event. I nodded for him to follow me up into the airship and smirked darkly as we caught up to Anton. Also, is there a separate room we can use? I don't really want to do this in the brig in front of the other prisoners, even if they're still unconscious.
Of course. We have separate rooms alongside the brig, which would work perfectly, Anton replied. We can drop this sack of shit in there and break him down for however long it'll take, and no one in the brig will be disturbed by his screams.
Absolutely perfect, I breathed as I wondered just what secrets Anton was keeping from us. Lead the way.
My pleasure.
Anton smiled darkly as he turned around quickly and smashed Alexei's head against the wooden hull of the airship.
Quite the violent one, isn't he?
Mariah laughed into my mind.
I wonder if he was that violent before he met you, or if this is your influence on him.
I only shook my head as I followed Anton into the airship and through the maze-like corridors of the floating base the Blue Tree Guild called home. The brig was in the deepest part of the airship, far away from the living quarters and entrance. This was, maybe, the third time I was heading to the brig, and even though the hallways of the airship were well-maintained and nearly identical, I was sure I would be able to find my way to it alone. Once we arrived in the corridor leading to the brig, Anton came to a stop in front of an inconspicuous door I hadn't seen before. It nearly blended in perfectly with the wall, and there were no door seams or even a handle. One moment there was just a wall, and then the next moment a door slid open to reveal a darkened room. Well, isn't this inviting? I followed Anton into the room and sat down at the wooden table shoved up against one of the walls. Quite cozy, perfect for our noble guest here.
The Blue Tree Guild only provides the best for our patrons.
Anton smirked back as he let Alexei's body fall limp onto the ground.
And this is our number one room for our most honored guest.
I can see, I laughed as I leaned back in my chair. Shall we begin? Just then, there was a knock on the door, and we all turned to face it. None of us had expected for the council members to arrive so quickly, but it only meant everyone would be involved in the breaking of the traitor we'd caught. Everyone except Aliona.
I'll get it.
Anton moved toward the door.
I guess no one wanted to miss even a second of this. They must have rushed here, or Milady made a portal for everyone to pass through.
No, I'll fill them in. I stopped him as I stood and walked toward the entrance. The two of you get started. Wake Alexei up and start making him as comfortable as possible.
We will.
Nike's voice was dark as he stepped toward Alexei's prone body. I nodded as I opened the door to see my father, Pyotr, and my two lovers standing in the hallway. Ruslan looked better than he did back in the infirmary. There was still a tiredness in his stance that would take time to go away, but fiery determination filled his gaze.
I hear we've got a friend back in Hatra, Ruslan grinned darkly, and his fangs gleamed. We couldn't stay away and just had to be part of his welcome back party.
Glad to see you're feeling better. I couldn't help the smirk that slid across my face at his words. Nike is waking him up. You got here just in time.
Perfect.
Ruslan practically purred as he stepped past me and into the room.
I don't want to miss a single moment. Besides, I have to make sure he pays for what he did to not only Hatra, but to Julia as well.
You did an amazing job capturing him so quickly.
Pyotr patted me on the shoulder and nodded his approval.
A dragon's nose is truly incomparable when it comes to hunting someone down.
Alexei didn't do himself any favors either, I snorted. That siphoning power trick of his is neat, but it seems he bit off more than he could chew. Nike and I gave him a little power overdose, and it was all over. Suddenly, A strangled scream echoed from inside the room, and Pyotr chuckled as he walked past me. The door slammed shut behind him, and I was left alone with Laika and Aliona. They were both covered in dust and dirt, but there were no visible wounds on their bodies. It was evident to me they had defeated the skeletons without anything going wrong or anyone getting hurt.
A power overdose?
Laika lifted an eyebrow in my direction before she glanced at the closed door.
That sounds rather painful. How is he even alive?
I'd say sheer luck, I admitted to them. I wanted to kill him when we found him. Even Nike was out for blood and ready to chop his head off.
Nike is an honorable man.
Aliona spoke softly as she clasped her hands behind her back.
He upholds the laws of Rama. He is immovable when it comes to loyalty and integrity.
Yeah, I noticed. I rubbed the back of my neck as I glanced at Laika. We're not going to go easy on Alexei. All we need is for him to be able to speak. If he's almost beaten to death, I'll just heal him enough so he won't die.
That's more than he deserves,
Laika muttered back as she crossed her arms over her chest.
He betrayed not only our goodwill, but all of humanity. He should be torn apart by monsters and his corpse left to the elements.
Took the words right out of my mouth. I laughed darkly as I nodded toward the door. Feel free to rip into him. No one is going to miss him. From what Nike said about his crimes, no one is going to be able to call us out on it, if we do kill him after everything's said and done.
I do have to thank him for those skeleton creatures he sent after us.
Laika growled as she walked toward the door and entered the room. For the few moments the door was open, more blood-curdling screams could be heard, and I wondered just how messy the interrogation was getting. Still, I wouldn't be surprised if they had gotten that far without physically harming him. The Blue Tree Guild's interrogators had managed to destroy one prisoner's mind through the use of magic already.
Alexei has to face me for what he has done,
Aliona added as her gemstone eyes sparkled with well-controlled rage.
He's committed high treason before two nobles of the sword and his princess. There is nothing he can say to excuse his actions.
Aliona, you aren't going in there. I stopped the divine princess from following after Laika. We need you to stay outside. You won't be involved with this. For a moment, I thought my princess was going to argue with me about my decision. Her eyes sparked with fire, and it was like an explosion had gone off inside of her. But the emotion disappeared quickly. Instead, she smiled brightly at me as she dropped into a shallow curtsy.
If the Lord of Hatra El Shamash bids this princess to stay outside, she shall.
Aliona closed her eyes for a moment and took a step back from me.
It was your people and your city, after all, who were harmed during this situation.
Aliona, wait! I grabbed her wrist and tugged her toward me. It's not like whatever you're thinking. I didn't explain myself properly. I just don't want you to get hurt. We still don't know who he's working for, or if he's doing this by his own will. Either way, he committed treason not only against Hatra, but against Rama. You're the princess of this kingdom, and a perfect target.
I know,
Aliona replied softly as she rested her head on my chest.
I just hate not being able to do anything.
You've done more than enough already. I pressed a kiss to her head as I wrapped my arms around her. You made sure the aqueducts were enchanted against everything, even while you were under attack by those skeleton mummy things coming out of the desert.
I was only doing my duty.
Aliona took a step back from me and smiled softly.
Protecting my people, no matter what, is what I must do. And I will do it for as long as I live.
For that to happen, you have to stay safe. I ran my hand through my hair and smiled down at her. So, go back to the underground library, curl up with your research, and wait for me there. I promise I'll tell you what we find out myself.
I'll hold you to that.
Aliona nodded as she turned and walked down the corridor. I kept my eyes on her until she was far out of sight. I hadn't been lying when I said she needed to be protected because she was a prime target, but after thinking it over, I didn't want her to be present for this. My gut told me we were going to find out some pretty nasty things, and I didn't want her to hear them from Alexei's poisonous mouth.
You made the right choice,
Mariah's voice echoed inside of my mind.
He is a poison that would only serve to torment her mind.
What? I replied as I closed my eyes. Do you know something about Alexei you haven't told me?
No, I don't know anything about him.
There was the hint of a growl in Mariah's voice.
But I don't have to know anything about him to know a traitor will always be cruel and speak words that will cut to the bone. He would have used her own honor against her, and perhaps even tricked her into doing something dangerous. Take his words with a grain of salt, Evan. I know this kind of traitor. They will do whatever it takes to weasel their way out of their punishments and end up in a position of power and comfort.
I didn't reply, since it was easy to figure out what Alexei would use against Aliona. King Rodion, Aliona, and I had talked about this once. The nobles of the land wouldn't approve of me unless I showed them it was their only choice. It was just a pity this was going to be the first instance of that. I hadn't wanted to start this campaign with blood and violence, but if that was the way it was going to be, I was going to start it off with the bloodiest show these nobles had ever seen. With a sigh, I turned around and entered the room to see Alexei panting on his knees. His clothes were ripped, and blood poured from angry cuts on his flesh. It was clear to see my family had already started his welcome party. As I was about to go back to my prior seat, I noticed something strange on his back. It was right underneath the blood and nearly looked like a bruise, but there was something wrong about the shape. I just couldn't pinpoint what exactly was off about it. Wait a minute, what's that? I pointed at the smudge of green on Alexei's back. Is that a stain or something? It can't be a bruise.
My lord?
Anton paused and glanced at me, and his ears shifted on his head as he wiped his bloody hands on his pants. There's something on his back! I walked closer to Alexei and squinted at the green shape. Right below his shoulder blade!
It's a green tattoo in the form of a leaf.
Lyca narrowed her eyes as she stepped toward Alexei.
It's like the charms we found by the Orichalcum mine.
It's not just dye. There's power mixed in with the pigment.
Nike frowned as he joined in on the study of the leaf tattoo.
The structure of it is similar to the enchantments on the Blue Tree Guild's gorgets. I suspect he can communicate with people through that tattoo. And there's an enchantment, so someone, possibly his immediate leader, will know where he is at all times.
Want to tell us why you have the symbol of the Green Glass Sect tattooed onto your back? I frowned as I walked back to my previous seat and sat down.
I'm only going to give you one chance. I won't tell you anything.
Alexei's eyes were nearly red with anger, and his once handsome face was distorted by a scowl.
You are only a lord from a destroyed city. You have no power over me.
You're wrong there. I leaned back in my chair as I smirked at his words. I have your life in my hands, remember? So right now, I'm the one person you don't want to piss off any more than you already have. If I were you, I'd start talking. I nodded at Anton, and he started hitting the traitorous noble with rapid-fire punches. Lyca also walked around him and lashed out periodically. Each hit left a nasty bruise on Alexei's flesh, and there were even some bruises where blood had broken the surface of the skin. Alexei was at the point of bleeding all over the room.
Fine, Alexei cried out in between the strikes. I'll tell you.
It's about time. I leaned forward as I waved Lyca and Anton away from him.
So, what are you fuckers planning to do with my city?
This isn't just about your little city.
Alexei laughed through the blood.
We're playing the long game here, and there's a much bigger prize we're betting everything on.
Then what's this big prize? I frowned as I went through the possible options in my head, but couldn't figure out what their end goal was.
Can't you figure it out?
Alexei mocked as he winced because of the pain he was in.
You're the mighty dragon of Hatra El Shamash, wielder of the Sword of Healing.
Listen. I don't really have a lot of patience right now. I rolled my eyes and leaned back into my chair. In fact, pretty much everyone in this room doesn't have a single iota of patience for you. So if you're smart, you'll just tell us instead of us having to beat it out of you, word by word and hit by hit.
I think he's a glutton for punishment.
Anton spoke up as he glanced over to us.
Since we don't usually get this far, I have an idea that could make him speak.
Yeah? I nodded for him to continue. Why don't you share it with the rest of us? Maybe one of us could add on to it and make it just perfect.
Sounds like a plan.
Anton grinned viciously for one moment.
So, here's what I was thinking. Instead of ripping the nails off his fingers, we'll start by removing all the veins from one of his fingers. Slowly, of course.
Ah, like deveining a shrimp. I nodded along with Anton's idea. Fingers and shrimps tend to be of roughly the same size, so the process could be similar, except perhaps this would be far more dangerous than preparing some shellfish.
Exactly!
Anton's tail wagged behind him.
See? It's like you're reading my mind, Evan.
We go finger by finger until all of them no longer have veins.
Ruslan nodded from where he sat across opposite me.
I have a question.
Pyotr's gray eyes glimmered with violent mischievousness.
What do we do once we've deveined all his fingers?
Isn't it obvious?
Lyca shrugged her shoulders and poked at Alexei.
Evan will heal him, and then we'll start the process all over again.
Or, and this is just a suggestion, I offered up with a smirk, once we finish with his fingers, we move on to his limbs. Maybe his arms, and then his legs. What do you think, too much?
Are you all psychotic?
Alexei cried out as he tried to shuffle away from us.
You can't do that to me!
We aren't psychotic, but we're very angry.
I leaned forward again in my chair with a vicious smile on my face.
So, why don't you just tell us what this big prize is, and you'll be able to keep all of your veins intact and in your body. What do you say?
Alexei shuddered, but he gave me the information I'd asked for.
The Green Glass Sect is planning on taking over Rama while the King is at the breach.
It was like the whole room inhaled sharply at once. This most definitely wasn't the information I wanted, and I was happy I had stopped Aliona from coming in. I had no idea how this would affect her, or if she would go into shock from the knowledge. Risking the stability of her spiritual sea wasn't worth this.
Are you stupid?
Pyotr scoffed as he shook his head.
King Rodion is like a god. What are you going to do when he comes back from the breach?
Our master will kill him, and we will rule this world.
Alexei's eyes took on a maniacal gleam.
That man isn't worthy of the title of king. Instead of expanding and ruling the whole world, he's content to protect weaklings.
You're wrong on so many counts, I don't even know where to begin.
I stood up and walked toward Alexei.
King Rodion being at the breach is the only reason your pathetic self is even alive to begin with. With that knowledge, you've somehow gotten it into your thick skull that he's a useless king? Not to mention, he's the most powerful man in the world, and you're just planning on killing him?
Our master is growing stronger.
Alexei continued to rant as he glared at me.
With every passing day, his strength grows.
This is more than a bit troublesome,
Nike sighed as he paced in the room.
I didn't think this could have been the cause behind Alexei's treason. To think they're planning on killing the king, it's unimaginable.
We'll stop them before that happens. I glanced over at my brother-in-arms and threw him a confident smirk.
Rama won't fall to the Green Glass Sect. It'll just remain as a dream for them.
You'll never be able to defeat the Green Glass Sect,
Alexei spat at me, and blood dribbled down his lips.
We are everywhere, hidden among you. Our people are buried so deep, you'll never be able to uproot all of us. You've lost this war before it's even begun.
That's where you're wrong. I shook my head as I rolled my eyes. By my count, I've already beaten you guys at least 5 times. And catching you, well, that's another win for me. Alexei had betrayed us, but his betrayal had opened up so many possibilities for us. There was a potential treasure trove of information inside of that poisonous head of his, and I wasn't going to let him die until we extracted all of it. Even if he was begging for death and half mad from pain, I would decide when he died and when we killed him. Well, I was going to toss his head at the feet of his precious master. I didn't care how powerful this supposed master of the Green Glass Sect was. Hatra was mine, and they'd harmed my city and my people. Rama was going to be mine too, and they'd plotted not only against my country, but also against my future father-in-law. The Green Glass Sect had hit 3 strikes already with this dragon, and I was going to tear them out of my world, root and stem, no matter what it took. I was going to destroy them all. End of Book 3. This has been Dragon Emperor 3, Human to Dragon to God, written by Eric Vall, narrated by Alex Perrone and Marissa Parnes.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.